Welcome back to another deep dive with us. This time, we're going to be looking at a case that really changed how we think about family law, the matter of BBM. It had a big impact on surrogacy, contracts, and parental rights. And, you know, it's still important today.
It is. And what's so interesting about this case is that it really landed in this legal gray area. Yeah. You know, there wasn't much guidance on surrogacy agreements.
Right.
Before BBM. So it really was groundbreaking.
Okay. So we are going straight to the source for this one.
Right.
Excerpts from the actual court opinion in the matter of BBM.
Cool.
Let's start with the basics. What actually happened? What are we talking about here?
Well, it starts with a couple, the Stearns, who wanted to have a child but couldn't conceive.
Okay.
And they entered into a contract with Mary Beth Whitehead to be a surrogate mother.
Okay.
The agreement was that Mr. Stearns' sperm would be used.
Got it.
Mrs. Whitehead would carry the baby, and then after the birth, she would terminate her parental rights, and she would be paid $10,000.
Okay. So that all sounds pretty straightforward, right? Like, you sign the paper, and that's that.
Uh-huh.
But I have a feeling it didn't go exactly to plan.
You are absolutely right. After the baby, baby M was born.
Yeah.
Mrs. Whitehead had a major change of heart. She felt an incredibly strong bond with the baby and really just couldn't give her up.
Wow.
Yeah.
But so we have a contract. We have a heartbroken mom.
Yeah.
And a baby caught in the middle.
Right.
Like, this is just a recipe for legal turmoil.
Exactly.
So how did the courts even start to figure this all out?
Well, the case went all the way to the New Jersey Supreme Court.
Oh.
And their decision was a real landmark. They decided that the surrogacy contract was invalid and couldn't be enforced.
Invalid? Wow. Why? Like, what were the reasons behind that?
So, a couple of key reasons. First, the court was really concerned that the contract basically amounted to paying for an adoption,
yeah,
which is illegal in New Jersey.
Oh.
And they viewed this as treating the baby like a commodity, like,
yeah,
something that could be bought and sold.
Right.
Which raised a ton of ethical concerns.
Yeah. Makes sense. Like, a contract can't just overpower something like parental rights.
Exactly.
Especially when you're talking about a kid's well-being.
Right.
But they couldn't just throw out the contract and just be done with it, right? They still had to figure out who got baby M.
Right. They had to. They were really in uncharted territory, trying to balance contract law, adoption law, and then the whole idea of what it means to be a parent.
Yeah.
It was really complicated.
Okay, so how did they decide then who should have custody of baby M?
So the court had to look at a lot of factors to determine what was in the best interest of the child.
Right.
It wasn't just about the contract. It was about the stability of the home environment, the financial resources, even expert testimony to assess everyone's psychological well-being.
Wow. So they really did their due diligence on this.
They did. It was very thorough.
Yeah. So what was the decision then on custody? Well, after looking at all that, they awarded custody to Mr. Stern. They decided that, given the circumstances, that was what would be best for the child.
Okay. But wait, you just said that the contract was invalid.
Yes.
So how could they enforce part of it by giving Mr. Stern custody if they just threw the whole contract out?
That is a really good question. And it gets at how complicated this really is.
Oh.
Just because the contract itself wasn't valid.
Right.
It didn't mean all parts of it were meaningless.
Right.
They still had to make a decision about custody.
Right.
And they did that separately from what the contract said.
Gotcha.
By looking at what was best for baby M.
So they were really making a distinction between whether the contract was legal and what was the best thing to do for baby M.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that shows that the court's main job in these cases,
yeah,
is to protect the kid.
Right.
Even if it means going against parts of a contract.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
So Mr. Stern got custody. Did they completely cut off Mrs. Whitehead from baby M?
They did not. And that is a very important point.
Okay.
The court did not terminate Mrs. Whitehead's parental rights.
So even though she didn't have custody, she was still considered baby M's mother.
Exactly. It meant she wouldn't be the primary caregiver,
right,
but she still had a legal right to a relationship with her daughter.
Okay. So contract's out. Mr. Stern gets custody. Mrs. Whitehead keeps her parental rights, but not custody. What about visitation? Did the court rule on that?
That's where it gets a little more complicated. So instead of ruling on that, the court decided to send that back to the lower courts.
Okay.
They wanted the trial court to look at the specifics of when and how Mrs. Whitehead would have visitation.
Okay, so even though she lost the custody battle, she wasn't totally cut off.
Right.
It was left up to the lower courts to work out the details of how that would all happen.
Right. The court recognized how important it was to maintain that bond,
yeah.
even though it wasn't going to be a typical mother-daughter relationship.
Wow. So many twists and turns. So just to be clear, the court made a few major decisions in this Baby M case.
Yeah.
They said the surrogacy contract was invalid.
Right.
Couldn't be enforced. They gave Mr. Stern custody. They really emphasized that they needed to consider the child's best interests. And then the court decided to uphold Mrs. Whitehead's parental rights.
Right.
Even though she didn't have custody.
Uh-huh.
And they left visitation to be worked out.
Yes.
Later.
Yes.
Okay. So this was just one baby in one contract.
Yeah.
But it seems like this case had massive implications for family law going forward.
Absolutely. It really did. It forced the courts to look at all these legal and ethical issues around surrogacy that really hadn't been looked at before.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just about custody. It set a precedent that would really impact surrogacy law moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like this case really opened up a can of worms when it comes to surrogacy. We'll dive more into the lasting impact of this case and how it still shapes discussions about surrogacy today when we come back. Welcome back. So we've been talking about this really fascinating case, the matter of Baby M. And, you know, we've seen how the court had to deal with the surrogacy contract and said it wasn't valid.
Uh-huh.
But this case brought up a lot of ethical questions, too.
Yeah.
About surrogacy, not just legal stuff.
Absolutely. It really did. Baby M wasn't just about settling a legal dispute. It made everyone in the whole country start talking about what surrogacy really meant ethically. And those conversations are still going on today.
It really brought it into the light.
Yeah.
In a way that hadn't been done before. So what were some of the big ethical things that came up because of this?
Well, one of the biggest ones was this idea that surrogacy could lead to people being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Especially women who are already in a tough spot. Like, could someone who really needs money
yeah.
feel like they have to be a surrogate just to get by? The court was definitely worried about that.
Right.
And it made everyone wonder if surrogacy could ever really be a choice people make freely.
Yeah. I see that. A contract's one thing, but pregnancy and giving birth.
Right.
Those are really personal things, and that can make things tricky.
Exactly. And it wasn't just about the people in this one case. It made everyone think about what surrogacy meant for society as a whole.
Right.
Like, is it okay to think of a baby as something you can just make a deal for?
What?
Does it make motherhood less important? Does it mean rich people can just buy babies? Those were big questions
right.
that came up because of this case.
Yeah, it sounds like Baby M opened up a whole can of worms.
It really did.
Did the courts try to address all these ethical issues?
Oh, they did.
They did.
They did. And because of what they decided,
yeah.
lawmakers all over the country started rethinking their laws
oh, wow.
and thinking about how to make surrogacy safer.
Okay.
And it wasn't just lawmakers, ethicists and legal scholars and just regular people started having these big discussions. It was a really important moment.
You mentioned making surrogacy safer.
Yeah.
What kind of things did they do to protect people?
One big thing was making sure women who might be surrogates really understood what they were agreeing to. That's mm-hmm. informed consent. Making sure they knew about the legal stuff, the emotional stuff, all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems obvious, but I guess back then it wasn't so clear.
Yeah, it was a new thing.
Right.
And the laws and the ethical side of it hadn't really caught up yet. A lot of states started requiring psychological evaluations.
Oh, wow.
For both the surrogate and the people who wanted to be the parents. That was to make sure everyone was doing it for the right reasons.
Right.
And that they could handle all the complicated feelings that could come up.
So it wasn't just about the contract.
No.
It was about making sure everyone was ready for the whole experience.
Exactly. Another important thing they added was making sure both the surrogate and the intended parents had their own lawyers.
Oh.
That way everyone had someone on their side looking out for them.
Yeah.
And making sure nobody felt pressured.
So thanks to Baby M, surrogacy changed a lot. Both legally and ethically.
It really did. These changes took time, of course, and they're different in different states. But there's no question that Baby M made everyone pay more attention and be more careful about surrogacy.
Now, even with these new rules,
right.
surrogacy is still controversial.
It is.
What are some of the ethical things people are still arguing about?
Well, one big one is this idea of commodification.
Commodification.
Yeah, like turning something into a product you can buy or sell. Some people say paying a woman to be a surrogate is basically buying a baby.
Right.
And that's really wrong. They worry that it could lead to exploitation.
Yeah.
And that it cheapens human life.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
It's easy to see how rich people could take advantage of someone who's desperate.
Right.
Do people agree on how to fix that?
Not really. There are lots of different opinions about it. Some people think we need stricter laws or even to make commercial surrogacy illegal altogether.
Wow.
While others think it should be a personal choice, as long as we have rules to protect people.
So it's hard to find a solution that respects everyone's rights while also protecting people.
It is. And it's not just about money.
Yeah.
People are also still talking about how surrogacy can affect everyone's mental health.
Yeah.
Especially the surrogate mother. Even if everything goes perfectly,
yeah,
giving up a baby you carried for 9 months can be really hard emotionally.
Right, of course.
And when a surrogate changes her mind, like in Baby M, yeah, things get even more complicated ethically.
It makes you wonder if anyone can ever truly be ready for all of that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Even with therapy and the best intentions.
Right. Surrogacy isn't just a contract. It's a human experience with really powerful emotions for everyone involved.
We've been focusing on the surrogate, but what about the people who want to be parents? What ethical issues do they face?
Well, for them, it's important to make sure they're doing it for the right reasons, not just because they feel like they should. They need to think about their motivations and be honest with themselves about whether they're really ready to be parents, including all the unexpected things that can happen.
Yeah.
Right. And the possibility that someone might change their mind. And they also need to think about what it will be like for the child who will be born into a family that's different from what we're used to.
So surrogacy is more than just a legal and medical process.
Yes.
It's a really deep personal experience, too.
Absolutely. And beyond individual choices, it also makes us think about what it means to be a parent in a family in today's world.
Yeah.
Baby M really pushed society to face those changing ideas. It challenged the old definitions and made people ask what parenthood really means now that we have all these new ways to have children.
So Baby M was more than a court case.
Mm.
It really changed how we see family and being a parent.
Exactly. It reminds us that the law and ethics are connected.
Right.
And that as technology changes,
yeah,
we have to keep thinking about our values and making sure our laws match up.
We've covered a lot so far, from the actual decisions in Baby M to the big ethical questions it raised.
Mm.
When we come back, we'll look at how surrogacy law and the ethical conversations have kept changing in the years since Baby M.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the matter of Baby M. It's wild how this case from so long ago in the 80s is still so relevant today.
Yeah.
We've talked about all the legal and ethical chaos it caused.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious about surrogacy now.
Okay.
Like, what's changed?
Okay.
What issues are still front and center with this whole thing?
That's a great question. The Baby M case was like this wake-up call.
Yeah.
It forced us to face surrogacy head-on and ask some hard questions. Things have definitely changed since then.
Yeah.
But like you said, there's still a lot to figure out.
Okay, so what does surrogacy look like legally today after all these years since Baby M?
Well, here in the U.S., it's kind of all over the place.
What do you mean?
We don't have one law about surrogacy for the whole country.
Oh, wow.
So the laws are different in every state.
So, wait, depending on where you live, surrogacy could be totally legal, totally banned.
Or somewhere in between.
Yeah, exactly. Some states, like California, are really open to surrogacy.
Okay.
They have laws that are set up to support it. They want to make sure everyone understands what they're getting into, that everyone has a lawyer, and that the child's well-being comes first.
Okay, that makes sense with all the issues about exploitation and stuff that came from Baby M.
Right.
But what about states that are stricter?
Yeah, some states are way more restrictive. They might really limit or even completely ban commercial surrogacy.
Okay.
Which is when the surrogate gets paid beyond just covering her expenses. They worry about things like commodification, that idea of turning babies into something you can buy, exploitation, and the risk of legal fights over who the parents are.
So even after all this time, surrogacy is still a legal puzzle in the U.S.
Yeah, it is.
What legal stuff are people still debating about?
Well, one of the biggest ones is figuring out who the legal parents actually are when a baby is born through surrogacy. It can be super complicated.
Yeah.
And often depends on the state laws, the type of surrogacy arrangement, and even what the contract says.
I can only imagine how much of a headache that is for everyone involved.
Oh, yeah, it can be.
Yeah.
There have been cases where even in those surrogacy-friendly states, intended parents have had to go to court to prove they're the real parents.
Oh, yeah.
It shows that laws don't always keep up with the times, you know, with all the new ways to have kids and how families are changing.
It seems like even with the best intentions, surrogacy can be a legal minefield.
It can. It can.
So we've talked law. What about ethics? Are there any clear answers there, or is it still kind of murky?
Well, Baby M made everyone more aware of the ethical side of things.
Right.
But a lot of those questions are still up for debate. People are still concerned about turning babies into commodities, mm-hmm. about surrogate mothers being taken advantage of,
right.
and the long-term psychological impact on everyone, including the child. Those are big things we're still discussing.
Yeah, those are huge issues, and there are no easy answers.
Nope.
So how do we make sure everyone's rights are protected? I mean, how do we make sure the intended parents,
right.
the surrogate mother, mm-hmm. and the child are all treated fairly?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And
yeah.
there's no magic solution. I think what's really important is that everyone's really thoughtful about it.
Yeah.
That there's open and honest communication,
yeah.
and that everyone involved is committed to doing things ethically. Each case is different,
yeah.
and needs a solution that puts the best interests of everyone first, especially the child.
What should intended parents and potential surrogates keep in mind,
okay.
to make sure they're doing this the right way?
Well, one of the most important things is to work with people who know what they're doing and are ethical.
Yeah, okay.
Like a surrogacy agency or a lawyer who's been doing this for a while and has a good reputation.
Right.
They can guide everyone through all the legal and emotional stuff.
Yeah.
And both sides should have their own lawyer,
okay.
to make sure their rights are protected the whole way.
That's smart with all the legal details involved.
Right.
What else is important?
Psychological screening and counseling for both the surrogate and the intended parents. That's really crucial. It can help spot any problems early on.
Yeah.
Make sure everyone's really ready for the emotional roller coaster that surrogacy can be.
Right.
And make sure everyone talks to each other openly and honestly.
So being prepared and communicating is super important.
Yes.
What about the money part of surrogacy?
Okay.
We talked about the ethics of paying for it.
Yeah.
But how do we make sure things are fair financially?
Transparency is key. Making sure that any money the surrogate gets is fair,
yeah.
reasonable, and clearly spelled out in the agreement. It should be about covering her expenses and giving her reasonable compensation for her time and effort.
Right.
And for the physical and emotional toll of pregnancy.
Right, because it's about being fair to the surrogate.
Yes.
But you don't want her to be doing it just for the money.
Exactly.
It's a tough balance.
It is. It is. And that's one reason why surrogacy is still such a thorny issue.
So given all these challenges,
yeah.
can we ever really say surrogacy is ethical?
Well, that's a debate that's still going on, and there's yeah. no easy answer. The ethical concerns are real. We can't ignore them.
Yeah.
But a lot of people believe that with careful planning,
uh-huh.
open communication, strong legal protections, and a focus on everyone's well-being,
yeah.
surrogacy can be a good and ethical way to build a family
right.
for people who might not have other options.
This deep dive has been amazing.
It has.
We've gone from the Baby M case to all the legal and ethical complexities of surrogacy.
Right.
And it's clear that it's a multifaceted issue that's going to keep changing as technology changes and our ideas about family grow.
It is. It's been a really interesting journey,
yeah.
hasn't it? The Baby M case, even though so long ago, is still shaping how we think about family, being parents,
mm.
all the amazing ways we can have kids now. It shows us that even decisions that change the world can have unexpected effects,
mm.
and that we need to keep talking about the ethical stuff as technology keeps moving forward.
This has given me a lot to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the Baby M case and the world of surrogacy.
Thank you.
Until next time, keep learning. Keep asking questions and keep exploring all the complexities of our ever-changing world.